Take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you'd like to follow along, and Psalm 49. Psalm 49. We're going to consider this psalm together tonight. There is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. This is a heavy and sober song, but it has a positive and joyful purpose, and that is to point us to Jesus Christ and to give us hope. So let's give our attention now to the Word of God. I'll read all of Psalm 49. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. And yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Selah. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. The upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. For he will receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him, for though while he lives he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go down, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing now as we hear his word. Father in heaven, as we've just sung in Psalm 27, we want to wait upon you now with patience. So we do ask you to teach us and instruct us in your way. We pray that you would now use your word in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, give us understanding and faith. Give us eyes to see the salvation that you have provided in Jesus Christ. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen up right now, everyone. Everyone in the world. It's not just a fancy way to get you all to pay attention to me. That is how this psalm starts. Verse 1 starts by saying everybody needs to listen and everybody needs to hear this. Psalm 49 starts with a universal call to listen, to pay attention, because the psalmist has some wisdom to share that everybody needs. And Psalm 49 is speaking to a universal audience. It's not just addressed to Israelites. is not just addressed to the people of God, but everyone, people all over the world, people of every position, low and high, rich and poor. Listen again to the opening lines. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. The words of Psalm 49, the wisdom of Psalm 49, could not be more relevant to people of every position, of every time and place. And that includes you and me here tonight. Psalm 49 is going to solve or open up a riddle in this poetic song. It's going to present a problem, but it's also going to lead us to the solution. And the problem is death. The universal reality of death, the finality of death. And the solution, the way of wisdom, is found not with man, but with God. And so the sons of Korah, penning this psalm, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, call you to wisdom. They call you to put your faith in God's solution to the problem, to the riddle of death. And to do that, they're going to show the reality of death. They're going to show the foolishness of man's solutions, man's failed attempts to answer death. They're going to show us that not all the wealth and wisdom of the world can answer death. But then in contrast to that, they're going to proclaim the good news. They're going to show us that God, unlike man, God does have an answer. God will provide an escape, a rescue, a ransom. He will pay the great price. And so this psalm calls you and it calls all people to turn away from the foolishness of the world and in wisdom to trust in God and to look to God's solution for death, to live by faith in Him. Instead of living in fear of death or according to the folly of man or for wealth, or for the praise of men, live with hope and peace and joy, trusting in God's ransom from death. This is the way of wisdom that you are called to. Trust that God can and He will ransom you from death. And He ultimately does that through Jesus Christ. So friends, the encouragement, the wisdom, the call of God to you from Psalm 49 tonight is to live with hope in the ransom of Jesus. Put your faith in the price that He has paid, because there is no other answer, there is no other solution, no other salvation from death. Live with hope in the ransom of Jesus. Well, let's listen up as this psalm calls us to. Let's listen closely to this psalm. And I want us to see first how the authors of this psalm really want us to wrestle with the reality of death. They want us to wrestle with the reality of death. It's as if they say first, let's just be honest about death. Let's be honest about death. It's a wake-up call. Let's be honest about the fact that death is certain for all. Let's be honest about the certainty and the universality of death. Listen again to verse 7 through 10. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must die. Perish and leave their wealth to others. You can't pay your way out of death. No one can live forever. No one can not see the pit of death. And both the wise and the not so wise die. Verse 12 says, man will not remain. He's like the beasts that perish. Death is certain. There are no survivors in this life until Christ returns. And the wisdom and wealth of this world offer no solution. And the psalm says, this is obvious. This is seen by everyone. This is actually known by everyone, even if they suppress this reality. This is obvious to all, but who actually reckons with the reality of death? Who's honest about death? Who has an answer for it? When was the last time you thought about the certainty of death? The certainty of your own death? Let's be honest, we do not live forever. Rich and poor, wise and foolish, we all have this in common. And Psalm 49 wants you to be honest about and wrestle with the certainty and the universality of death. It is coming for all of us. But Psalm 49 is not just wanting to be morbid or put a damper on life. It is being brutally honest. It wants us not to deny this, but look it in the face and wrestle with this and actually emerge knowing that we're not hopeless. That life does not have to end in death for the wise, for those who put their trust in God. But to get there, you first have to be honest. You have to wrestle with the reality of the curse and the sting of death. You have to see the problem before seeking the solution. And so Psalm 49 is honest about death. It's honest about its finality, the permanence of it. There's no stopping death. There's no backtracking from it. Once you're dead, you're dead. Look again at verse 11. Their graves are their homes forever. Their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their names. Once you enter the grave, you can't get out of it. Then verse 14, like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Death is likened to a shepherd that gathers us all in like sheep. We are all appointed to Sheol. You'll see that word several times in this psalm. The word Sheol is the Hebrew word, the Hebrew concept for death, for the grave, the realm of the dead, the pit to which the non-living descend and cannot escape. It's what we get for our sin. It's part of the universal curse, the judgment for sin. And then listen to verse 17 and following. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him, for though while he lives he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Psalm 49 finishes saying, you know, you may have a good life. You might be rich, you might be smart, successful, famous, but you are going to die and never again see the light. And you get to take none of your glory and none of your riches with you. Death is final. It's permanent. And so reckon with the reality of it. Deal honestly with death. That's really the first part of this proverb, this word of wisdom, this sober warning and word of wisdom from Psalm 49. That you and all people need to hear. And it's not too pleasant, is it? This is not the most pleasant topic for a nice summer evening. It's not what we like to hear or we want to hear. Death is dreadful. It's a terrifying reality. We read earlier in Hebrews 2, all men are slaves to the fear of death. We don't like thinking about it. It is sad and depressing and scary. It is not natural. It is the result of sin, the fall. It is the just curse and wrath of God. And yet we need to reckon with it. We need to be honest about it. Are you? Have you reckoned with the reality of death? Do you know that you're going to die sooner or later? Even you young children who may have many, many years before you. Have you thought about death and the need for salvation? You need to think about death because you need to know what to do about it. You need to know that it's not hopeless. There is a solution. There is salvation. There is a Savior. And that's where Psalm 49 is going to lead us. But first, it's going to show us what not to do about death. It's going to highlight some of the foolish answers for death. And so, second, Psalm 49 calls you to realize and to admit and to see that man has no answer. In himself, man has no answer for death, and everything he has tried fails. Look again at verse 7. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. Man has no answer. Man cannot come up with enough money. Man cannot ransom or redeem. He cannot pay to secure the rescue and freedom of another or himself. And the psalm goes on and makes the point that even the wealthiest in this life end up homeless. Even the richest end up with nothing. They die and they take nothing with them. None of their wealth or their glory or their riches. They might even have lands to their name. But the grave will be their final permanent home. Look at verse 11 again. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter what you own, the only permanent real estate a man can own is his grave. And then look again at verse 12 and 13. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Man in his pomp, that is man in himself, as honorable as he could be among his peers, as wealthy, as powerful, as wise as he could get, still just dies like the beasts. Man has no solution. And all that he puts his trust in, wealth, honor, wisdom, the praise of man, is all just foolish confidence. Verse 14, their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. They will decompose and waste away in the grave. And so this psalm is a warning, a sober warning, a warning to all people. Don't let this be your answer for death. Don't get sucked into this. Verse 16, don't be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. That ultimately gets you nothing. That does nothing for the universal problem of sin and death. And you can't take any of it with you. And so don't be impressed or intimidated by it, by wealth and earthly pomp and influence. It gets you nowhere. It is not an answer for death. It is a foolish confidence. Don't live for it. Don't be afraid when you don't have it. You can't get around death, no matter how wise or powerful or wealthy you are. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't buy anyone else out of it, not with all the money in the world, not with all the good works in the world. Man in himself has no answer for death, is lost and without hope. You see the folly and emptiness of living this way, looking to man, looking to money as an answer. Man in his pomp is like a beast that perishes. You'll simply die like an animal without understanding and seeing this, without walking in the way of wisdom, not putting your trust in God. And that way you're living like an animal, a beast that perishes, verse 20. You'll die without any more understanding and wisdom than an animal. It sounds harsh the way they put it here. But they're speaking this way out of love, out of a desire to warn and direct you away from living this way. Recognize man has no solution. Don't look to him and his answers. Whether it's wealth or wisdom, honor or pomp, they all fail. And yet what's crazy, what is so sad and foolish is that no one wants to hear that. Millions are living this way, living to make a name for themselves now, living for today, living for wealth, with foolish confidence in themselves, thinking they can somehow buy happiness or enough wealth or fun in this life that will counteract the reality and finality of death. Or they deny death as judgment, it's just a moving on. Or they hope without any evidence that death is just the end and there's nothing after it. And they just live for today. Is this how you are living? How do you deal with and cope with the reality and the horror and the unstoppableness of death? Are you living to count yourself blessed now, to get praise, to do well for yourself, as verse 18 speaks of? Psalm 49 doesn't deny you might have some good times. You might fit in, you might receive praise, but it's not worth it. It all so quickly ends. It leaves you with nothing. Are you trusting in your wealth? In your wits, what others think of you? Are you trying to make a name for yourself? Are you trying to be a good person? Friends, none of that is an answer for death. None of it can free or ransom you from death. None of it can pardon your sins. Jesus said in Mark 8:36 and 37, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" The answer is man can give nothing. Man, even if he gains the whole world, will forfeit his soul apart from faith in God, apart from God's salvation. And so this is the warning, and we need to hear this warning. This is the way of the fool that Psalm 49 wants you and everyone to see and to avoid, to walk away from. Don't live this way. Don't put your faith in yourself, in man, in wealth, in the solutions of this world. Well, that brings us then to really the pivot, the hinge in this psalm, the high point. The main point, what it's been driving to, the way of wisdom, the path of hope and life, the gospel here in Psalm 49. The call, third and finally, tonight, to trust in God's ransom. Trust in God's ransom, His solution. See that there is hope. Look with me again at verse 15. "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for He will receive me." Man has no answer, no solution for death. He can't ransom himself or anyone else. He's a fool to think that he can. But then comes the good news here in verse 15. A beacon of light breaks into the darkness. And I love how it begins, "but God." Man, nothing but God. Man's wealth, his wisdom, his ways fail. Man trusting in himself and his riches will be consumed in Sheol. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. And here's a summary, a small statement of the gospel in the Old Testament, addressed to all peoples, to the ends of the earth. The psalmist's faith was in God, and in a ransom he would pay, and he's calling to you and me and everyone who will listen to do the same, to put their faith in God. To see that God can and God will pay the price that we cannot pay. No one can pay the price for his life. No one except God. God will ransom my soul. And that word ransom is a beautiful and important word. It means to redeem, to buy back, to purchase freedom, to secure redemption and delivery by way of payment, payment of a price, payment of a ransom. How would God pay this ransom? Well, you know the answer. He would send His only Son from heaven to come to this earth, to take on human flesh, to live a perfect life, and then to willingly die for sinners who cannot save themselves. He would go to the cross. He would pay the price and purchase their freedom with His own blood. He would be buried for 3 days and rise again, breaking the power of Sheol, freeing everyone who would trust in Him, rescuing and ransoming them from death. God will ransom me. God has at the cross if you trust in Him. Paying the price, a price no man could pay, that could only be paid by the God-man. And so Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Jesus is the ransom. He has paid the ransom. He has purchased redemption for dying sinners, saving them not just from Sheol, not just from death in the grave, but eternal judgment from hell. And before He entered Jerusalem to do so, He spoke of this ransom in Mark 10, verse 45. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." How does God ransom? How could God ransom a soul from Sheol? How can He ransom your soul and mine? Only through Jesus. Only through His shed blood on the cross. And that resurrection morning when Sheol could not hold Him. Is your faith in Him? Are you putting your trust in God's ransom, the only ransom that can deliver you? Verse 15 again, "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for He will receive me." He will receive me. What does that mean? It means God will receive you rather than Sheol, rather than the power of death. Death will not be final and victorious because God will receive His people. Though the body will be buried, the soul will not. The soul will go directly to God, be immediately received by God in glory to await the resurrection. And what a contrast that is to the fool, the one not trusting in God. He'll become homeless. He'll have no place to dwell but Sheol. But the believer will be received. This word "received" is rare in the Old Testament, but one of the places it occurs is in Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, or God received him. Death will not ultimately take the believer. Sheol and the grave will not take you, will not swallow you up if you are trusting in God. God will. He will take you. He will receive you. He will welcome you and take you to glory, to heaven. And one day to the new heavens and the new earth with a new resurrected body that will never die, that will be forever freed from the power of Sheol and sin and death. Death is swallowed up in the awesome ransom of God. Wow. What hope, what comfort, what peace in the face of the reality of death, in the face of the horror of it and finality of it. What peace and hope in the face of the wealthy and famous and the pomp of man who trusts in himself and mocks you for trusting in Jesus and says, follow us, but who has no answer. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we have the only answer. What have we to fear? God will ransom us through Jesus. He will receive us if our faith is in Him. Let me read verse 15 once again. And kids, I've read it a lot, but this might be a good one for you to memorize. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for He will receive me. Selah. Meditate on this. Selah. We're not exactly sure what that Hebrew word means. It could mean repeat or pause. Maybe it's a musical notation for an interlude, but whatever it means, I think it's meant to underline and add emphasis to the previous line, to get us to pause and reflect and think and let it sink in. God will receive me. God will ransom my soul from death through Jesus. Is that amazing to you? Is that your hope tonight? Is that good news to you? Are you afraid of death? Are you trusting in what you can do or what you can earn or achieve? Or are you trusting in and putting your hope in what God alone has done and will do for you? Dear friends, trust that God will ransom you. That He has. He has sent His Son to be that ransom, to rescue and redeem you from sin and death. What good news. This psalm has been dark and heavy and difficult. Death, 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 foolishness, hopelessness, no answers. But then abruptly, verse 15, but God will ransom my soul. But God. And those words always remind me of Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, speaking of us as dead in sins, children of wrath, destined for judgment and death. But then the light of the gospel breaks in. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The riches and the pomp of man is nothing, nothing compared to the riches of God's grace. Put your faith in God's riches and His ransom that He has paid in the shed blood of Christ. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Hear this, each of you tonight. No man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. Man in his pomp will not remain, will perish, will be consumed in Sheol. Without understanding this, without hearing and believing this wisdom, this good news from God, you will perish like the beasts. And that's how this psalm ends, on a very somber note. Ends with a warning. Don't do that. Don't perish without understanding and faith. hear and believe the wisdom, the good news of God. God will ransom you from death, from Sheol. He will receive you by the ransom that has been paid by Jesus, by His death and burial and glorious resurrection. And so rejoice. Fear not. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust God's ransom. Do not live for the honor and pomp and praise and wealth of this world. Don't fear those who do. Don't fear death, but rejoice. Live with courage and hope and peace because of the mercy of God. Because God ransoms and rescues sinners from death through Jesus Christ. Live by faith in Him. Live with hope in the ransom of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our great and awesome God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this word to us in Psalm 49. It is a heavy and solemn and difficult word, and yet it drives us to Jesus Christ. It shows us where there is hope. There is one name given under heaven by which we can be saved. There is one ransom that has been paid, and I pray that you would enable us to look to Jesus and to put our hope in you and take comfort in the good news that you proclaim to us. Now, Lord, give us faith in you. Build us up. Let everyone hear and many, many more hear and listen and believe and have life. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.